God is good today. You feel the Holy Spirit moving today? Well, the message today is on the Holy Spirit, and I've got the opportunity to talk to you about that this morning as Pastor Jimmy is up north at his niece Courtney's graduation. They're enjoying a well-deserved weekend off, right? Amen. Everybody needs that, especially a pastor. Nobody puts more time and effort into the church, and if you're one who kind of gets worn out a little bit throughout the week, you know, think about doing that and then having to work all weekend too. You know, and it's good for him to have that opportunity to just rest, relax a little bit, get filled up and come back. He's going to have a good word for us next week. Amen. All right. You guys ready for the softball game tonight? Woo-hoo! All right. That's at 4:15. Make sure you guys remember that. 4:15 at park number four or field number four. It's going to be a good day. We'll see if the rain holds off. I'm not sure about that, but we'll see. Right? If it does, it's all right. We'll make it up at the end of the season, maybe. The Holy Spirit, our strength. That's what I'm going to be discussing today. Talk about the Holy Spirit. How many of you guys like to be strong? Anybody work out, lift weights a little bit? No? Not at all. Huh? Now, I know Ron's been doing a little exercising, a little P90X and all that stuff. I tell you that. I don't know if I could do that, but I do like to exercise and work out, stay strong. Once you hit a certain age, I'm not saying what age that's supposed to be, but once you hit a certain age, you start to maybe peak a little bit, start going downhill, but, you know, Lord has blessed me. I still feel as strong as I was when I was 22, benching over 200 pounds. Some of you guys are like, whoa, other guys are like, what? Where's Dave De Leon? Dave come today? No, he warms up with 200 pounds. That's his warm-up. Wow. Then he goes to, you know, 315, something like that. But Dave used to be a power lifter, and so being strong is good, especially in the Lord, right? The Bible says to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Yes. And the Holy Spirit was the one or is the one who is here on this earth right now helping us to stay strong and helping us to stay focused on what the Lord has for us. For those of you who are maybe a little new to the church or a little new to Christianity, here at New Freedom Church, we believe in the Trinity. We believe in the Father and the Son and in the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Holy Spirit's divine work in us as believers to sanctify us and to give us gifts used for His service. And so those are some things that I want to kind of touch on this morning. Now, the Holy Spirit was sent to us by Jesus. When Jesus left to go back to heaven and sit at the right hand of God after he had risen from the dead, he sent to us the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit can be with us and encourage us and fill us with God's strength. How many of you guys need a little extra strength to make it through the day? I mean, every day I get up in the morning and I look at the tasks ahead and I look at the challenges that we're facing as a family, as an individual. And I tell you what, I am so thankful that God has given us this Holy Spirit, our strength. Now, the Holy Spirit, because He is God and part of the Trinity, one of the things that we have to do is we have to understand that the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is an entity who has his own thoughts, who has his emotions, and someone that we need to get to know and relate to. How many of you guys have ever heard that before? The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is someone that we can get to know. The Holy Spirit is someone that we will draw close to and who fills us and who has a way of thinking that might be different than ours. And so we need to learn how to relate to Him, right? Amen? Get a few amens out there? Amen. All right, praise the Lord. Feel free to shoot one out there every once in a while. Make sure that, you know, I'm doing a good job. All right, amen. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Now, we see Jesus mentioning the Holy Spirit for one of the first times in John chapter 14. You guys want to look at that with me if you have your Bibles here, or else it might be up here on the board. When you look at John chapter 14, 15 through 17.
Excuse me.
This is where the Holy Spirit, this is where Jesus is going to promise the coming of the Holy Spirit. Verse 15, it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Okay? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither knows him nor sees him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for sending the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Spirit of truth, to be with us and to be in us. Thank you, God, for knowing that we are fragile people, that we, like the psalmist says, we're here today and we're gone tomorrow. But Lord, thank you for giving us the Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for sending him to teach us and to remind us all things in you and to give us that strength that we need to be your witness here on this earth. Thank you, Lord God Most High. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Holy Spirit is sent to be with us and to be in us, to fill us up with all of the potential that is God. Now, when we look at this Christian walk, this is something that very few of us can do by ourselves. Amen. Have you guys ever realized that you need a little help? We need help. We all need help in this life. No one can do Christianity by ourselves, and those who try fail miserably. Now, I'm not one who likes to admit my weaknesses. All right, I don't go around telling everybody all the things that I can't do. All right, we tend to tell everybody what we can do, right? You know? But when we look at the Holy Spirit, one of the things that he is sent here is to be our paraclete, our helper. Okay? Now, if you guys engage in different activities, you probably need physical help, like I needed help when I built my shed. I know some of you guys helped me build my shed. Pete was awesome, helped me out a lot. Ron was there. I think we took turns trying to shoot each other with the nail gun, but praise God it didn't go off. Or else we'd be like that, you know, Ripley's Believe It or Not with a little nail sticking out of her head or something like that. We got a little crazy with the nail gun, but it worked. It worked the way it was supposed to do for the most part. We need help moving. All right, we need help selling our house, stuff like that. So if anybody's in the market. But when we look at trying to be a Christian, there is so much against us, amen? There's so much working against us. And when we look at this world would love to see us fail, amen? When you look at the news itself isn't littered with people who are successful. The news is littered with people who have failed. And that's what society likes to point out. There's so many temptations that could overwhelm us and ruin us that without the help of the Holy Spirit, without the help of the rest of the church that we see here gathered together this morning, we would be a miserable failure as a husband, as a father, as a fellow member of the church. I would be a miserable failure. And that's why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus, while he was on this earth, he was limited as a man, okay? And just like a man, you only have so many hours in the day, right? There's only so many things that you can do throughout the day. Only so many people you can meet with, only so many people you can pray for. But when the Holy Spirit was poured out, now we have access to God's strength and God's power and God's anointing no matter where we are, no matter where we go, amen? Now, when we look at the different things that describe the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He's this our helper, the Spirit of truth. Now, when we get to know the Holy Spirit, when we start looking at drawing close to him, we need to learn how to relate. The Holy Spirit, even though the Holy Spirit is powerful, and when you look in the Bible and you see how he had given strength to individuals, you think about Samson, right? Samson was a pretty strong guy. And it says the Spirit came upon him, and he killed, was it 5,000 with a jawbone of an axe, or a jawbone of a donkey? Is it 5,000? You guys remember that number? We're all there. But the Spirit came upon him, and he pulled the pillars of the temple down over the top of the Philistines. And Elijah, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he ran faster than a chariot could go for what we believe is about 26 miles. I mean, you can run 26 miles, but if I ran 26 miles, it'd be pretty slow. He said he outran the chariot for 26 miles. All right, so the Spirit of the Lord can give us strength. But how do we get to know this Spirit of God? David probably put it best when he made this comment, "Be still and know that I am God." Okay? A lot of times when we think of the Holy Spirit, or when we want to draw close to the Holy Spirit, we have to take time to get away and to get out of all of our own distractions and our own thoughts. When I was a new Christian, one of my friends and mentors told it to me like this. He said, "You need to get out of your mind and draw close to the Holy Spirit." How many of you guys understand that term? You got to get out of your mind. You know, I'm like, what? And it took me a little time to figure out what he meant, because he kept saying that. I'm like, dude, I'm a pretty intelligent guy. I've got my doctorate, you know, pretty smart. What do you mean? What he meant by that is we have to get out of our own thoughts, our own intentions. We've got to get away from our own emotions when we want to focus in and hear the voice of the Lord. We have to get in what a lot of people call their prayer closet. You've heard of that term before. All right, you got to get in your prayer closet. Well, what does that mean? All that means is that you need to get in an area where you can be quiet before the Lord, an area that is distraction-free. You know, for some of us, it might be driving in a vehicle. You know, I like to do that sometimes, just go for a ride. And yeah, you don't want to close your eyes too long or anything like that. Because when you're driving, you don't want to, you know, go in a ditch. That wouldn't be a good testimony. Cop pulls up. What's going on here? Are you under the influence? Just praying to the Holy Spirit. I don't know if he'd receive that testimony. But when you look at that, you know, if you can get in an area where you can just focus on the Lord, that is what we're talking about, to be still and know that I am God. Samuel the prophet learned this process when he was growing up in the church. Now Samuel, if you guys don't remember the story of Samuel, Hannah, his mother, prayed earnestly year after year after year to have a child because she was barren. She couldn't have a child. And when God answered her prayer, she devoted her firstborn son, Samuel, to the Lord. And Samuel, after he was raised up and weaned, you know, and all that kind of stuff, everything that you basically need to do before you go into preschool, she dropped him off at the church, and she gave him to the Lord. And so he served in the church. He would sleep in the church, right at the foot of the temple, of the altar. And one night, the Holy Spirit started to speak to him, calling his name. And he thought it was the priest, Eli. And so he'd run back and forth. And finally, Eli figured it out that it was probably God. And when you look at that set of scriptures, it talks about Samuel still didn't know the voice of God. Okay, he didn't know the voice of God, so he thought it was Eli. How many of you guys are like that? Some of you guys probably have heard the voice of the Lord, but you didn't quite know it was him. You maybe thought it was just a random thought. You guys like that? Okay, very often we get these thoughts that come into our head. Oh, go speak to XYZ, you know, go speak to this girl or this guy over here, you know. Or, hey, that person looks like they're hurting. Maybe you should talk to them, see what's going on, okay? And often that's the voice of the Lord speaking to us. We may just think it's a random thought and we may just dismiss it. Oh, that's not. But when Samuel learned the voice of the Lord, from that point on, he never let the word of the Lord fail. That's one of the special things about Samuel that it talks about in the Bible. That once Samuel learned the voice of God, he never let it drop. He always acted on it. Now, how many, I don't know about you guys, but that's sometimes difficult to do, right? We've got jobs, we have families, we've got situations that we're all facing. And sometimes it's just a little inconvenient to just go ahead and act on the voice of the Lord. But it's very important that we make every effort to do so, amen? Never let the word of the Lord drop, because I've done that before, and I've always kind of regretted it. Has ever hear the voice of God and then regret it a little bit later that you didn't listen to him, right? I've done that, and I want to do better. I want to do better at that. And if you guys are like me, we go through this thing called progressive sanctification. Once you're saved, it doesn't mean that everything is brand new. Sometimes you got to work at it a little bit. It's called character building, right? Elijah also learned this ability. Elijah, one of the greatest prophets in the Bible, he was one of the guys who called down fire, or I shouldn't say he called down fire. He prayed and fire came down and consumed the altar and the stones and the water. It lapped it all up. You guys remember that story? Elijah. Well, shortly after that, he ran scared as a chicken and hid in a cave and wanted to die. Right after that, almost immediately after that, he got scared. Jezebel, the queen, said she wanted to kill him, and so he ran. After that great victory of the Lord, he ran and hid in a cave. And the Lord said he was going to come and speak to him. And if you look at that story, the Lord didn't speak to him in the wind. He didn't speak to him in the earthquake. He didn't speak to him in the firestorm. He spoke to him in the still, quiet voice. And that's why it's so important for us to learn to be still and know that He is God. Another opportunity that we have is in worship, when we are worshiping the Lord. How many of you guys enjoy worship? You guys enjoy worshiping God? As you guys get a little excited this morning, it was good worship. We should give those guys a clap today. You guys did a great job. Now, worship depends on our heart's position, right? We can be great musicians and great vocalists, but where our heart is, that's where our worship tends to draw us, amen? And when our heart is focused on the Lord, we will be drawn into the presence of God. And when the presence of God begins to enter the room, I don't know about you, but the hair in the back of my neck starts to stand up a little bit. You get this like a little electricity feeling coming on. Sometimes, some days it feels like somebody threw a coat over you, like there's a weight. All of a sudden there's like a little weight, and it just feels like the only thought that goes through my mind is like, God is holy. He is so holy today. And so these are different things that I've experienced and that maybe you've experienced too. And this is when the Holy Spirit enters the room and when the Holy Spirit begins to walk amongst us. We need to realize that and honor Him. When the Holy Spirit comes, it's always for a purpose, amen? It's never just to make us feel good. We can go and do a lot of different things that make us feel good. But when the Holy Spirit comes, He's here to change our lives, right? He's here to transform us. He's here to make us new again and to strengthen us and equip us for the work of His ministry. And so worship is a great opportunity to open our ears and really listen for the voice of the Lord. Sometimes when I'm in worship, I'll get a picture in my brain. Maybe you call it a daydream. I call it a little vision. And sometimes you see different things happening, you know. And maybe it relates to what's happening in the church, or maybe it relates to a personal situation. All right, but maybe that happens. And if you didn't know it, that was God. Maybe the Lord was trying to speak to you in a little picture, a little vision, or a little daydream. Has anybody ever experienced that before? All right, some of you guys, yeah. Now, when God speaks to us, it's for a purpose, amen? There's always a purpose when God speaks. It's never just to say, you know, it is sometimes just say hi and hey, I love you, you know, and strengthen us. But in Isaiah, it says that his word goes forth and it doesn't return empty. Okay, when his word goes forth, when he says something, stuff happens, amen? You say stuff happens. Stuff happens. And it doesn't return empty. And so when God begins to work in our lives, when he begins to speak to us, stuff is going to happen. And there's two things. There's two things that I want to kind of focus on as far as that purpose goes. There's an individual purpose for the work of the Holy Spirit. He's going to change your life. He's going to transform you so that you begin to reflect the glory of God. In the Old Testament, Moses would go up the mountain of the Lord. He would go up the mountain of the Lord and he would spend time with God. And when he came back down, his face would glow. You guys ever read that story? His face would glow and it would essentially cause people to become rather scared of him. They didn't want to look at him because it'd be a little weird for somebody to come back glowing, right? And so he had to wear a veil over his face so that they wouldn't get as scared or excited or offended by him. Now, when we, in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it talks about us being transformed in the same way. We also are transformed from glory to glory through the work of the Holy Spirit. When we spend time with God, it's for a purpose. You believe that? You say purpose. Purpose. You guys want purpose in your lives. I know you do. All right, if you look everywhere in the world, there's always purpose. Every movie you watch, there's always some type of purpose involved, right? How many of you guys like Star Wars? You guys ever watched Star Wars, anything like that? You know, Star Trek. I mean, all these movies, they're all filled with people who want to fulfill some kind of purpose. The world is looking for purpose. It's looking for something significant. And the Holy Spirit is here to produce that purpose in us. Now, one of the first things that I want to point out is that when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, it's to strengthen us to be his witness. Let's look at Acts 1 verse 8. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. See, when Jesus was getting ready to ascend into heaven, he gave his disciples instructions. He said, go to Jerusalem and wait. How many of you guys like to do that? How many of you guys like to wait? Sit around and wait. We talked about this in our men's group yesterday. We had a men's Bible study yesterday morning at my house. It was a wonderful time. Really, really good time. And one of the things that we talked about, it's so difficult for guys especially to just sit around and do nothing, right? How many of you guys agree with that statement? Man, I tell you what, you need to be doing something. You need to get your hands going. You got to be active. There's stuff to do. Things to check off the honey-do list. But one of the things that Jesus said is to go to Jerusalem and wait. Let's read that verse. Verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That's a very popular verse. How many of you guys are what you would consider an evangelist? You guys like to tell people about Jesus? I know Ron, you can raise your hand if you want to, Ron. All right. Ron's our missionary to Vietnam, Ron and Amy, all right, missionaries to Vietnam. And these are, over the years, this is one of the verses that Ron has helped pound into me. You know? To be our witnesses, to be witnesses. Now, the days are The days are coming. Have you guys noticed that people tend to distort your witness? They take it out of context, maybe, or whether it's intentionally or unintentionally. A lot of times the words that we speak can be taken out of context. Have you guys noticed that? Yeah. Oh, I didn't mean that. You know, I didn't mean that. What are you talking about? I never said those words. Well, when you look at media and our news, a lot of times they'll pick and choose what they want to relate so that it kind of fits their angle, right? Their take, their spin. And especially with Christianity, this will happen quite a bit. And so they'll interview a pastor or they'll interview someone about some controversial topic, and the only thing that they will relate and the whole story will be about, I don't agree with this, or, but they won't say everything else that the person said, right? They'll only take like one little phrase and they'll distort it and they'll twist it and they'll make it into something where everybody has no opportunity except to judge that person to be wrong. Have you guys noticed that? You guys seen that? And so a lot of times our words are taken out of context, and our meaning and the purpose of our meanings are distorted by the way of this world. And so what is our witness going to be? What will people believe, and how will they know that we are followers of Christ? What speaks more loudly than what we say? Okay, our actions. Our actions will speak a lot more loudly than what we say very often. We're in our Wednesday night small group, the Wednesday night Bible study. We're going through Francis Chan, the second one, We Are Church. Any of you guys enjoying that study? You guys enjoying that a little bit? It's a good time. Even if you guys haven't made it to the first couple, you are welcome at any time. So please, Wednesday nights, 6:30 p.m., Francis Chan, We Are Church. And so we talk about a little devotional. We go through a little video. We get a chance to pray for each other and to kind of discuss the information that Francis Chan is relating to us. And it's just an opportunity to grow in our faith. But one of the main points this last week was, what is your witness? What is your witness? Are you all talk and no action? All right. When we look at this world, our actions are going to speak a lot louder than our words, because our words will often get distorted. And what we say is often taken out of context. And so who we are and what we do becomes extremely important. Okay, when you look at the book of James, it talks about this. If you say, be blessed, and walk away, you're not really doing your job, are you? Okay, there has to be action in accordance with what we say, or else it's just hypocrisy, right? And I don't know about you, but I know a lot of individuals who say that the church is full of hypocrites because they say one thing and they do another. Well, we've got to work on that, right? We've got to bring that around so that what we say and what we do line up, especially lining up with the Word of God. Amen. Now, another thing is our ability to persevere in the midst of trials. So often we read that we need to be happy when we encounter various trials, like James, I think verse 3, says, be happy. Amen. Be happy when you're in a bunch of trials. How many of you guys enjoy that one? Be happy. Be happy, Ron. Be happy. All right? It's exciting. Man, somebody kicked me in the guts today. Yahoo! All right? I got into an argument with my wife. That was the best thing that happened to me today. You would probably be pitying me, right? Oh, that poor guy, you need some prayer. Extend your hand. We have to pray for that guy. Yeah, pray for that guy. Or you look at situations that we face at work. Man, I work at NEBTC. A lot of you guys know that. I teach anatomy and physiology there. And so I have the opportunity to interact with quite a few individuals. And being a Christian in a liberal environment can sometimes be challenging. It can be challenging because a lot of people don't believe that way. All right? I don't know what happens to a person when we become educated. In some ways, I think we de-evolve, you know, because there's so much contradiction in that mindset. But when you look at those trials that I've gone through have been for a purpose again, right? The things that we go through, and this is why it tells us to be happy, to count it with joy when we go through trials, because those trials are going to produce something in us that we can't do on our own. It's going to cause us to trust God more and allow the Holy Spirit to work more in your life. Just say that word. Just say more. More. Now, when we look at trials and tribulations, one of the things that the Bible teaches us is to make sure we take these things one day at a time. Matthew chapter 6, right? Don't worry about tomorrow, just worry about today. Right? And what does God promise to do? He promises to give us enough strength for today, right? Enough strength for today. So many people that I know, they worry about today and they worry about tomorrow and they worry about next week. Right? You guys ever do that? You guys ever find yourself worrying about the next month, the 2 months later, or 3 months later? I mean, I fall into that trap too, you know, thinking about our children as they get older. You know, Steph and I, as we plan out our year, oh, what's going to happen here, what's going to happen there? We should always have plans. I'm not saying that. So if you guys are procrastinators, I'm not putting you off the hook. All right? So don't use that as an excuse. Don't say, Pastor Jill, tell me I can do that. All right? We should always have a plan, but when we look to the future, we should trust our plans to the Lord, right? Amen? Entrust your ways to the Lord, and He will direct your paths. One thing that Jesus does tell us that He will give us the strength to make it through each day. Let's look at Isaiah 40, 29 verse through 31. The promise of God. Some of you guys might recognize this scripture. You guys have probably heard it 100 times, right? Let's make it 101. Isn't it interesting how you can read a scripture 1,000 times and maybe a handful of times it just like, man, that's what it really means. Wow, that's awesome. It just speaks to your situation. It just fills your heart with hope and joy. All right, so let's look at this. In 29 through 31, it says, He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. That's a good word, amen? When we look at our life, and life in general, it's difficult, it's tough. We don't need anything extra to struggle at times, right? We don't need anything extra just to make it through this week. Or I should say, we don't need any extra trials occurring this week. We've all got plenty. But when those trials and tribulations come, God promises that He will strengthen us. He promises that. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. And so we can count on God. We can cry out to God. And that's why, as a pastor, we try and encourage you guys to spend time with the Lord. You know, if you can, Yeah, I don't know if you're a morning person or not. I'm not necessarily a morning person, but I always try and make time for the Lord every morning. You guys ever try and do that? Try and get up a little early and just try and spend a little time with God? Maybe it's just to read the Bible. Maybe it's just to, you know, pray for a few minutes. But I tell you what, when you are able to do that, when you're able to wait on the Lord early in the day, it makes everything else so much more bearable, right? Now, one thing you got to remember is that just because you are praying and you're reading the Bible, it doesn't mean that everything's going to be easy, right? I mean, look at the scripture. It says, they will walk and not be faint. They will, where are we at here? Who turned that? All right. They shall run, they shall walk. Okay? You see, there's different levels to where we can expect. All right, sometimes we can run a marathon. Okay, sometimes we might have to walk it. Amen? But the point is that we're going to finish the race. Right? We're going to persevere. We're going to finish the race. We're not going to just come in last place. All right? We're not going to get carried off in a stretcher. Anybody get carried off in the stretcher in the state lacrosse championships? No? Nobody? Oh, man, you got to be throwing more elbows out there. Congratulations. That's awesome. That's awesome. You guys see the little trophy down here? Can I hold it? Can I touch? All right, y'all see that? That's pretty snazzy, huh? Huh? Now, this doesn't come about by doing 5 minutes at a time, right? Is that right? Did you just practice 5 minutes every day, right, and that's it? Once or twice a week? No? You put some time into it, don't you? And that's perseverance. How many of you guys know that Christianity is a lot like that? You put into it what you're going to get out of it. Amen? All right, second thing that God's going to do for us individually. Okay, so one, he's going to strengthen us to make it through so that we can be his witnesses. And next thing he's going to do is he's going to give us gifts. How many of you guys like to get gifts? You guys like gift giving? You guys like giving, you know, receiving, you know, giving, receiving, yeah? I mean, seriously? Two people? Three? Three. Four people like to get a gift every now and then? Oh, come on. Everybody likes to get a little card or something, right? Everybody does. Now, when you look at the motive of the Holy Spirit, it's to bless you. All right? God gives us gifts so that we can be used. All right? So that we can be used. I know that's kind of an interesting thing, right? But all gifts given by God are for a higher purpose. And if we tend to look at others' gifts and neglect our own, we miss the whole purpose. Okay, we miss the whole purpose. We are here to be a blessing, not just to be blessed. Our gifts, whatever they may be, are for others. That's radical, ain't it? That's crazy. I tell you, if somebody gave me a Corvette, I think I'd be driving it most of the time. I don't know if I'd be borrowing it out too much. Sorry, Randy. Maybe a little bit. Maybe you could ride with me. But when God gives us a gift, it's so that we can be a giver. So that we can be a giver. Now let's look at some of the gifts that he gives to us. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. All right, so 1 Corinthians 12. We got it up there. For just as the body... Oops, sorry, that's not the right one. Okay. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Isn't that exciting? Now, God treats us as individuals. And that's why I can experience God in one way, but you may experience God in a completely different way, and that's okay. Right? You don't have to be just like me. All right? You don't have to be just like me because God's going to relate to me differently than he's going to relate to you. And he's going to give me different gifts than he's going to give to you. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities. Varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Man, that is exciting. That is exciting. How many of you guys felt like you'd never had anything to offer? Oh, I don't have anything to offer. Look at me. Look at my life. You know? That's such a lie of the enemy, and the devil would love to do nothing more than to devalue you and to make you feel that you have nothing that's worth anything. Why are suicide rates so high? All right, there's a lot of reasons, but one of the biggest reasons is because the devil wants to devalue life. He wants to make you feel like you're worthless and that you don't have anything to offer. But God has a purpose. Amen? God has a plan. God has given us all gifts. He has made it possible for us to serve. He has made it possible for us to be involved in different activities. But it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Now, I don't know about you, but when I first started coming to church, I felt like that, right? I felt like I didn't have a whole heck of a lot to offer. I mean, when you go to church, you got the pastor, you got the associate pastor, you got the worship leader, you got the person on the keyboard, you got the person on the bass guitar and the drums. I couldn't do any of that, so what am I going to do, right? There's nothing that I've got to offer. You don't have to be the pastor, right? You don't have to be the worship leader or up here in the band. All you have to do is be yourself. Amen? All you have to do is be yourself. God made you with a unique purpose. God made you with gifts to be used in the church. Now, sometimes that might be cleaning the toilets, and I've cleaned the toilets a lot. Maybe it's vacuuming. Maybe it's just making some yummy treats back there with kiwi and strawberries on them. Lord bless that person. Multiply their talents. Amen. I don't know who it was, but God bless them. But how many of you guys were blessed by that? How many of you guys were just so thankful? Man, that's so awesome that there was a little treat back there. Everybody who ate one should be raising their hand, just not two people. Unless you guys ate them all. I don't know about that. I actually saved one for my youngest boy because he loves fruit. So thank you very much. He is blessed because of that. But do you understand what I'm getting at? I tell you what, this church would not work. The body of Christ does not work without everyone employing their gifts. I mean, seriously, if nobody cleaned the toilet, would you guys even want to come into this room? Man, it would be a little difficult. The Lord is here. Holy Spirit, move amongst us and please block our noses. All right? That wouldn't be possible. It would be very difficult to focus on God if that wasn't clean back there. Now, I know that when we look at the different gifts, there's a whole lot of gifts that we talk about here. It talks about faith. It talks about healing. It talks about miracles. It talks about prophecy, or prophesying. It talks about discernment, being able to distinguish between spirits and speaking in tongues and interpreting tongues. And a little bit lower on, it talks about the gifts of service and hospitality. And it even talks about pastors, prophets, teachers, evangelists. So these are gifts to the church. When you look at Pastor Jimmy and you look at myself, Ron and Amy, you know, Jimmy, Johnny, and Bill and Melinda, we are gifts to the church. Okay, we are gifts to the church. We're no different. Pastors and prophets and evangelists, we're no different than you. We are actually gifts for you to use. And this sometimes is a difficult concept because we tend to elevate those individuals, kind of put them on a pedestal, right? You guys ever do that? It's like, oh, man, I wish I was just like, you know, this guy I know, Graham Cook. Oh, I wish I was Graham Cook. Man, he does awesome things. I wish I was just like him. I can't be just like him because he's just a man. He's just a person. I don't know if you guys knew who Graham Cook is, but he's one of the guys that I enjoy a lot of his teachings. I can't be just like him, and I don't, you shouldn't want to. That's coveting, right? That's actually coveting him and coveting what God is doing. That's not appropriate. That's actually a sin to covet what they do. All right? What we should be willing to do is asking the Holy Spirit, Lord, make me a gift, right? Make me a gift so that I can be used in service to the Lord. What a weird concept, right? That we can be a gift, that we have gifts, that we can be a blessing unto others. And all of this is so that we can start to fulfill our corporate purpose. The corporate purpose is where we begin to work together in unity. How many of you guys enjoy that concept? Let's be unified. How many of you guys, seriously, how many of you guys enjoy that concept? How many of you guys get freaked out by that concept? You mean I've got to work with this person over here? Seriously? I don't know about that person. They're kind of shady. All right? Who knows what they've been doing? Can't be any different than what we've done in the past, right? When you look at it, it's difficult. I mean, so often in my church life, you've heard pastors sometimes preach against another church. We don't want to be like those guys. We don't want to do those things, okay? Those guys are falling down. Those guys don't know what the Bible really says. And yet, it's interesting that when you actually look at the teachings of Jesus, he never stopped somebody from preaching the word, even if they weren't necessarily directly under his authority. You know, and that's an odd concept to most people. And it's okay for someone to really love their church. And I hope you guys love New Freedom Church. Want you guys to love New Freedom Church. But we should love our purpose more. We should love our vision, reaching people for the lost. We should be loving prayer, worship, discipleship. These are the things that we want people to get involved in and get excited about. And as we work together in unity, there may be a little conflict every once in a while, right? You guys ever have conflict with someone else in the church? Ever butt heads a little bit? Okay. The one thing in America, especially, the one thing that we do terribly as churches and as pastors is we say, hey, if you don't like your church, come over here, like my church. If you don't want to be over there, just come on over here. We've got a great church. Come on over. In reality, what we should be doing is say, you know, if you're involved in some conflict, you need to work that out. Amen. You need to work that out, because if you don't, if you come to my church, you're going to experience the same conflict. Amen. If you go to this church over here, you're going to experience the same thing. And if you don't work it out now, you're going to leave. 6 months from now, a year from now. I met so many people who are in that 6 month to a year cycle. Have you guys noticed that? Every 6 months they find a new church. Every year they find a new church. But if you're in conflict, you need to work that out. You need to figure out what's going on. If you feel called to another church, then by all means, you know, Pastor Jimmy and I would love to pray over you and release you to that. You guys remember Renee? You guys remember Renee? She was playing the drum. She was wonderful. Our kids love her. You know, she's wonderful. But she felt called to help out with the young adults over at, not Living Hope, LifeBridge. And so she came and she met with Pastor Jimmy and she said, Pastor Jimmy, I feel so bad, but I just feel called to be over there and help with that ministry. And, you know, as pastors, we're like, man, that sucks. But may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord let his face shine upon you and strengthen you. May he lift up his glory upon you and give you peace as you serve where you feel God has called you to be. And so when you feel called to a mission, when you feel called to a vision, that's when you should get up and go. Not necessarily because you're experiencing some conflict, because that does two things. It stunts your growth and it stunts the church's growth. I mean, how many of you guys like to garden? You guys like to garden? I like to garden most of the time until I get distracted by other things, and then my plants usually die. But one of the things that that plants need to grow is they need to be planted in one spot for a while, right? I mean, Dean is our, right? Is that right? All right. Dean's the owner of Green Bay Nursery. So if you guys need any plants, bless him. Go buy your plants from him. All right? Bless him. But when you look at that, I got this apple tree in my backyard that I bought from Dean. And it's huge. It's huge. I got to trim it down so it doesn't get caught in the power lines. But if I took that and I transplanted that every year, would it grow? It would not grow. So as a Christian, how do we expect ourselves to grow if we're constantly transplanting ourselves? Amen. Now, it's tough. When you look at really growing in the body of Christ, it's tough. When I look at my experiences in the past, it was tough for me to become an open person. You know, when we started, I was actually one of the people who actually helped to start the church. And when we met in small groups, man, I was like, I'm holy, don't ask me any questions. I'm doing just fine, don't dig around, you might find some skeletons in my closet. But we gotta realize one thing. We gotta realize a couple things. First, how much do we trust and love God? Okay, how much do you trust and love God? Okay? The measure that you trust and love God will be the measure that you're open with other people. You guys get that? Let me say it again, just because I think some of you guys were off on La La Land. All right. The measure that you love and trust God will be the measure that you are willing to be open with other people. Now, why do I say that? It's because when you know God and you know how much God loves you and you trust God, it doesn't matter what other people think. Amen? Amen? It doesn't matter what other people think when you know and love God, because God's love is steadfast. His love never changes. Amen? His steadfast love endures forever. And so no matter what people say about you, because people are fickle, people's emotions change. You could be best friends with a person 1 month, and the next month, haven't talked to him. You guys ever done that? I've done that. Not because I don't like anybody. If that happened in the church, please forgive me. All right, but life happens, and life changes. But God doesn't change, and His steadfast love endures forever. And when we are able to get past our fear, and when we are able to trust God, we're going to start to experience a unity. Look at John chapter 17. Can you pull that one up here? John 17, 20 through 23. John 17. See, Jesus knew that this is what we needed. He knew that unity was where it was at. If I could find the book of John in my Bible. There we go. Okay, John 17, 20 through 23. It says, I don't ask for these things only, but I also for those who believe in me through their word. All right, so he's talking to the disciples. He's talking to the disciples, and he's praying for his disciples. So he's asking, Lord, I don't ask just for these guys, but I ask for the ones that are going to believe by their testimony, by their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I give to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may become perfectly one. So that the world may know that you have sent me and loved them, even as you have loved me. All right, so how many guys need it more convincing? All right, how many times did Jesus ask us that we would be one, that God would help us to become one? Now, I'm not talking about just a bunch of mindless zombies just sitting around you know, all that kind of stuff. I'm not saying that. But when you look at the body of Christ, and you look at the way it's described, okay, everybody has their own purpose, and we are all working towards the same goal. When I teach anatomy and physiology, we talk about all of the different cells and tissues in our body. We have over 22 different tissues in our body. We have over 4 to 5 trillion cells, okay? And all of those things do different things, right? Your muscle cell creates movement. Your nerve cells send signals. Your hair cells grow and make you look cool. Or if you don't like them, you can shave them off and look really cool, okay? All right. Your skin protects you. Your white blood cells defend you. Your fat cells give you a little extra cushion here and there, you know? Store some energy. But there's purpose. There's a plan and a purpose for each one, just like there's a plan and a purpose for each person here today. They don't want to be the same. If we all wanted to be the same thing, what a bunch of boring people we'd be, right? We need diversity, right? We need diversity. We need people who like to hunt and fish. We need people who like to build things with their hands. We need people who like to just bake stuff and serve and answer the phones. We need each other. And the Holy Spirit is here to help develop that unity. And that's what pastors and teachers and prophets are here to do as well, to help build unity. Now, it takes a lot of courage, doesn't it? Doesn't it take a lot of courage to open yourself up? It does. All right, you got to be willing to maybe get hurt. You got to be willing to get past the conflict that we have. And I don't know about you, but conflict isn't bad. You know, we all think of conflict as being really bad. Avoid conflict at all costs. And yet, the Bible talks about iron sharpening iron, right? I don't know about you, but that's pretty abrasive stuff. There's going to be sparks flying. There's going to be little pieces of shavings all over the floor. It's going to be messy, right? It's going to be messy. But it's important for us to go through that conflict so that we, on the other end of things, come out even stronger, right? Even sharper. Lord gave me a vision one time of myself. I don't know about you, but if you know me a little bit, I'm pretty hard-headed. And he gave me a picture of a rock being ground. He said, "This is you." I'm like, "What? This is you. You're being ground down into something more attractive, into something more useful, more beneficial." And even though it's a slow and uncomfortable process, if we're willing to go through it, we're going to come out the other end even more functional, right? More beautiful. Think about a diamond. You know, diamonds go in pretty ugly, pretty dirty. Have you guys ever seen a real diamond? Not the one on your ring, a real one. You dig out of the ground, it looks terrible. It looks ugly, right? Have you guys ever seen it? It's terrible looking. It's ugly. But as that diamond goes through the process of being chipped away and formed, it becomes something incredibly beautiful where it catches the light and it sparkles and everybody says, "Oh, I love your ring. Your husband's so awesome." Right? Or you just say, "Hey, you know, I just bought these on eBay." But a diamond that is polished has gone through an extensive process. And we need to be willing to go through that process. We need to be willing to spend time with the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Now, when we open ourselves up, it takes a conscious effort. It takes a conscious effort. And I want to take an opportunity this morning to give you a few minutes. I want to ask the worship team to come up and do one of our worship songs again. And as we're singing, all right, if you guys need to get going, you know, I respect that. Bless you. The kids are in the back if you want to get the kids, but If you have a few more minutes, please give yourselves an opportunity to just sit quietly before the Lord. If you need prayer this morning, please come up for prayer as the worship song is going. All right? There's things that we're dealing with today that we need to address. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. You need to address that today. Maybe you've never heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. We need to address that today. Why today? Why can't I do it tomorrow morning? When we gather together corporately, the Lord comes into our midst and he starts to fill the house of the Lord, right? It says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And so as we sing this worship song again, you know, if you have a need, bring it up to the altar. If the deacons and their wives could come forward, Johnny, you and Linda could come forward. All right. If you need prayer this morning, don't put it off till tomorrow. Address it today when the Lord is alive and active here amongst us. If you need strength today, come up. Trust the Lord today. Trust the Lord today. All right? Give him the opportunity to minister to you today because he wants you to have a testimony. He wants you to know that purpose that he has. Amen? Amen? So Tim and Heidi, if you guys could come up. Ron and Amy, if you guys would be willing to come up. All right. I'm just going to minister to you this morning, okay? Send you out of here in a good note. Lord Jesus, thank you for sending your Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving us your strength. Thank you for filling our lives with purpose. Heavenly Father, it's my prayer this morning that as we sing this song and as we draw close to you, Lord God, that you would speak to us, that you would open our ears to hear and our eyes to see all the wonderful things that you have for us, all the plans that you have for us, Lord. I know some of us are struggling with decisions. Some are struggling with life. Now is the time to deal with that. Now is the time to lay it down before the Lord. And so just encourage you guys to come up as we sing. If you guys could stand as we sing, I would appreciate that.